You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, November 16th. 2015. You are listening right now to episode 181. My name is Rob, Mr. Fancy Pants Dancer. Across the table, Jason Slingerland.
I rarely dance, just to be clear.
Yeah. Well, only when you're drunk, right?
Or at least close.
Yeah.
I have to have a few drinks before I, you know, get loose.
Before you get loose. Yeah.
Get low.
Yeah.
Then I just want to dance and rap.
You look like you lost something. Did you lose your phone? Did you misplace your phone?
I did.
Uh-oh. Where's it? Where's the phone? Where's the phone, guys? We lost the phone. This is my phone. This is not your phone. I got my phone. Where's your phone? I don't know where your phone is. Uh-oh. Builders, we have a serious problem here. Jason's phone is missing. It has disappeared. This is
I literally have no idea where.
And he's panicking right now. He's panicking right now because he lost his phone. His phone is missing. I don't know. Did you leave it upstairs?
I must have.
Yeah? You think so? I think he did. We cannot continue unless Jason has his phone.
We can't.
I know. Jason is going upstairs to get his phone. It's got to be upstairs. If it's not upstairs, then the world is going to come to an end. I don't know what we're going to do if Jason can't find his phone. Does he have it? Did he find the phone? He doesn't have the phone. Oh, no.
I literally have no idea where the phone went.
This is tragic. I'm scared. Do you want me to call it? Is this ringer on?
No, because thanks to you, jerk, it's an airplane. Oh, it fell down right here.
Okay. Oh. We're saved. Oh, whew. I was frightened for you there for a minute. Crisis averted.
So we found my phone, so
yeah.
That's good.
Whew. Crisis averted. Holy cow, man.
I hope you did not leave the whole thing in there. That
we'll
was
see. I'll have to listen back
out.
To it. I might.
I also hope you really cut that last part out.
Yeah.
So anyways. All right. So let's talk about.
Boy,
so.
I feel like we've been through an ordeal.
Yeah. So here's what I want to talk about.
What do you want to talk about?
I've been talking with somebody back and forth, who I won't say who they are, but who has turned me towards a publisher possibly for Gunslinging and Ramblers.
Oh, great.
It's the same person I've been talking to for a while. And
yeah.
Him and I have been going back and forth about, he thinks I need to scale the game down a little before I pitch it to this publisher.
Sure.
So he tasked me with dropping components.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you have way too many components. I need this game to fit in this size box, and have about the same components as X game.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. Challenge accepted. So, it's been a really cool exercise because it's forced me to really think outside the box for how this would work. Right.
Yeah.
So the game, like I was like, well, I can cut it down to like 20 whiskey tokens by making the whiskey tokens double-sided and have two different values on each side. Right. But the money, I was like, the best I can do is it's a 4-player game. There's got to be 36 pieces of money, like of little cardboard pieces of chips or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's 9 rounds in the game. 9 times 4 is 36. It's just math, right? And then like, I don't know. It just hit me. I was sitting there thinking and I was like, what? Why do I have to have 36? Like what? And I was like, well, there's a couple characters who can take money from the pot. And I was like, that's literally like 2 characters.
Mm.
So let's pretend that's not the case. What bonus does it add to the game that there's 36 pieces of cardboard? And then something interesting occurred to me. Nothing at all. In fact, the game actually takes longer because of those 36 pieces of cardboard. Because not only do you have to pass them out to everyone and sort them out and stack them up because there's 3 different denominations.
Yeah.
But how many times we're playing, are we like, Rob, you have to ante. Rob, you still have to ante. Mm-hmm. Why haven't you anteed yet?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it occurred to me, what if there were just 9 tokens, which unfortunately you can't call pot tokens because that just confuses people. But like they're the ante, right?
Yeah.
Like, they are the winnings for each round. Mm-hmm. There are 9 of them. They would have 3 different values, and you'd play just like you did. Here's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, sure. 1, 2, 3, right?
And you should never be in a position where you have to split the pot.
Right.
Yeah.
And here's what makes it even better. It plays 6 players now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, but there's only 36 poker cards. There's actually 72 poker cards, but it's 36 physical cards.
Yeah.
And so I did the math. You will never need to use more than 36 cards over those 3 rounds. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? At the end, you shuffle the deck and you do it out. You were shuffling the deck halfway through the game anyways.
Sure. So the point of poker chips is so that you can bet, but betting is not in the game anymore.
Right.
So... yeah, so you don't even need to...
Right. So the game just got way more affordable.
Yeah.
Because now it's 36 cards for poker cards, mm-hmm. which again are 72 different cards because they're half and half,
mm-hmm.
and 24 Ramblers. That's it. And then you've got your 20 whiskey tokens, which 20 is the lowest I can mathematically get it down to.
Mm-hmm.
And even at 20, in a 6-player game, if every single player at the same time had 2 tokens in their whiskey reserve and 2 tokens on their guys, there would not be enough tokens.
Sure.
But the chances of that happening are infinitesimal, especially because instead of starting you with 2 tokens in your whiskey reserve, I'm going to start just starting people with 1.
Because
effectively, you never needed more than 1 really before you had some.
Sure.
So yeah. So I mean, it's perfect, right? It works out really, really well.
That's great.
So anyways, yeah, really.
So what if you just used cards and had them just be, you know, like bundles of cash instead of even being tokens for the money?
Yeah. There's no reason not to do that.
Yeah, because then that's just a few more cards and less cardboard.
Yeah, it'd be 9 more cards, which actually mathematically is great for a card game.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Yeah. So then it would just have to be, and then maybe I could add a few more, whiskey tokens in.
Sure. Yeah.
And then, yeah, have like 24 of those. And then there's a dealer token, because that's helpful. That could be a card, but it'd be nice to have the dealer button just so it moves around.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that means the game is way more compact, which I think is fitting for the game.
Sure.
Instead of making it some big thing. Mm-hmm. So like, then you got a $20 game, right? You got a $19.99 game right there.
Yeah, that's great.
So
that's great. I'm
really excited about that.
That's cool.
I really want to work out the math on the poker, on the whiskey tokens,
mm-hmm.
just to make sure that I'm certain. Because in a 4-player game, having tokens that were 1 and 3 would work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actually, in a 4-player game, if you had 24 tokens and they were 1 and 2, mm-hmm. that's probably enough tokens to make it work for the whole game. Especially if I make it so that people aren't giving out a bunch of extra shots, which again is a couple tweaks of a couple abilities. That's the thing. Like,
sure.
I had exceptions for rules in there because of a couple characters, and that's dumb.
Sure. Like,
there's no reason to do that.
Sure.
So I'm going to look at the math on that and try and shore it up, because if I could get away with less whiskey tokens that are double-sided, I would love to do that.
Yeah.
And just because, again, I don't want the game just to have fluff in it. I want the game to be a tight experience,
right.
Has everything it needs to play.
Yeah.
And it still has 7 custom, 7 regular dice.
It does still? Okay.
Yeah, so it would have 3 blue, say, 3 red, 3 green, and then 1 red.
Okay.
And that right now is for sure, because the person did say, if you can cut out all this extra stuff, having those dice won't be a big deal.
Yeah.
Worst case, if it did have to happen, you could add some cards in or something to make it balance, but I'd rather not do that. I really like the dice.
Yeah.
And I've also set it up so that you can't have a gunfight with everybody in it again. Like, because again, there was one character that might happen with, and I saw it happen like once, and it was a pain in the butt to track.
Sure.
Because there's not enough dice. So you got to roll. Okay, you're dead. So you roll again. Oh, you're dead. Okay, so you roll again.
Yeah.
Oh, last man standing. It was just a pain. So
yeah. So just cut some characters and.
Well, and I just really have to change their abilities.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
And the nice thing is, because there were so many bar abilities, I have this huge pool of abilities that I can work from.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That I can just repurpose.
Already written.
Yeah. So, I mean, it basically had twice as many abilities as I actually needed.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
I'm pretty excited about streamlining it way down.
That's fantastic, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks. So what's up with you?
Still working on my top secret project that I can't talk about.
Right.
And
top secret.
Yeah. And what else? Let's see. By the time this episode is posted, Fallout 4 will have been out.
And that's all you'll be doing.
And that'll, yeah. When my wife is playing Fallout 4, I'll continue to be working on the secret project.
And when she's not,
I'll be playing Fallout 4. So
nice.
That I'm sure by now is occupying most of my time.
Right.
Most of my free time.
Cool.
So it'll probably be another month, maybe two, before I'm back on Twitter. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do this every year, but I'm trying really hard ahead of time to make a decision about Unpub and what I'm going to bring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm tired of rushing that at the end. And last year it ended up being, well, I mostly just brought Ramblers. I will not do that this year. If I haven't sold it yet, I'll certainly have a copy, a good copy.
Sure.
That I can pitch to some publishers, but I will not be showing that game there. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm focusing on my race car game
good.
That I pitched at Grand Con that people seem to really like. So, yeah. Some Katarski and some other people gave me some really good suggestions on how to make that a little easier,
mm-hmm.
Meaning like component wise,
yeah.
Instead of having people actually have to use the chipboard things and stuff.
Yeah.
And then this game I'm going to pitch tonight. So I think those are the two games. They're very tactile.
Yeah.
They're very interesting. I think that those are going to be the two games that I'm going to bring. I think they'll show well on the table.
Yeah.
So
good.
And I'm going to stick with that because unless this game, when I prototype it, is abysmal, but I don't think it's going to be. I think this game is actually going to be really good.
Okay.
So
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still don't know. I haven't given a lot of thought to Unpub since my Dice Tower game kind of didn't work out the way I'd hoped. But yeah, so my, for this top secret project, my self-imposed deadline is, December 1st. So, once I get
gotta
done
deadlines.
With this, yeah, gotta have deadlines. Once I get done with that, then it's back to working on designs to narrow it down to Unpub. And
right, the good thing is, as much as I'm really annoyed and it sucks, Unpub is in April this year.
Yeah,
we got some time,
more time, which is good. I mean, it's pretty digital, man.
It's digital.
Yeah, it's pretty digital.
So, anyways, sorry, builder, if you really hate us because we keep saying digital, but we keep saying digital.
It's just the digital thing to do.
Yeah.
So, feature of the week time.
Feature of the week time. You today wanted, I had an idea what we should talk about, but you were like, no, no, no.
No, 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 no.
I want to talk about movement.
I do.
So the idea of this is to talk about movement other than moving on a board.
Yeah.
Ways to track movement. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a board, but we're saying what are different ways to track movement. Not even just abstract ways, but like meaningful ways to track movement without tracking movement on a board. Right.
So let me tell you why I wanted to talk about this.
Oh, great. I'm excited.
Because when I was brainstorming, trying to come up with a pitch for last week's episode, you know,
you were like, it's a grid and you move on the grid and it's gross.
Well, so I've become more and more mindful of that particular crutch of mine. Right. So, I mean, I've joked about that now. Couple of times. So it occurred to me that it would be cool to make, you know, Pangea, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right. So Pangea, the theoretical Ur continent where the one single landmass that all other landmasses right now.
Is that technically theoretical?
I think it is theoretical still, because obviously we can't go back and look at it in history.
There are other processes we can't go back and look back that we do not call theoretical, just to be clear.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to start an argument here. I'm just saying.
Well, there are.
I'm just saying.
So that's a longer, bigger conversation.
doing this, to
I have a lot to say about that matter, but factually, that is a theory.
Okay.
Yes, just like gravity is a theory, we cannot prove that gravity exists. Okay. All we can ever do is fail to disprove that gravity exists. Okay. So.
Gravity is something you can test.
You can test it. Can you prove it?
What's the difference between...
Okay. So what you do is, in scientific method, is you propose a hypothesis, and then you test that hypothesis, yes. And you analyze the results.
My hypothesis is gravity will make things fall when I let them drop.
Okay. Well, okay. I've got this can here.
Yeah.
It's empty. All right. So yeah. My theory is that when I drop this, gravity will pull it to the ground.
Okay.
Well, yes. Pull it to the table because the table's right in the way. So did that prove that gravity is what pulled that can to the ground? Let me propose a different hypothesis to you. I'm going to take this can here, and I'm going to let go of it, and I expect it to hover in midair exactly where it is, okay? That's my theory. Now I'm going to test it.
What if it had hovered, though? How cool would that have been?
Right. So all I can do with testing gravity, all I can ever do is fail to disprove that gravity exists. I can never prove that gravity exists. All I can ever do is fail to disprove it. Now, you get into physics and things, and there are mathematical proofs and things that support the evidence, anecdotal evidence that we have for gravity.
So you're saying if I said to a natural scientist, uh-huh, Earth scientist, is gravity a fact? They would say it's a theory. Well, but if I said to a mathematical scientist, they would say, no, gravity is a fact because I can prove it with these numbers that I wrote on
gravity,
the board.
Gravity is a simple example, okay? And it's an easy example to talk about. Gravity, we have failed to disprove gravity so many times throughout human history that we consider it a fact now, okay? We call it a law, the law of gravity, okay? But that's just a simple example to talk about scientific method and talk about the difficulty of proving theories. And in many cases, all you can ever do is fail to disprove that theory over and over and over and over and over and over again, okay? That's science. That scientific method, that is at its most basic approach.
When you say it that way, it really makes science kind of sound dumb.
it makes science sound honest. Purely and truly honest and factual.
There's not that many things nowadays that we suddenly go, whoa, we thought this forever, and sure, it turns out we were wrong. Actually, the time when that most happens is with anything in space, because they're always like, this is sure that.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, for instance, just recently they once again said, this might be an alien civilization over here, but it's probably not, because we've thought that like 12 times and it never has been.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
read that news, by the way. It's actually really interesting. You've read about that, right?
I'm not sure what you're talking about. No.
No, really?
Yeah.
Like, so there's this, there is some objects around, mm-hmm, a distant star. Mm-hmm. It's quite a ways away.
How far?
I don't know.
Like a mile?
No, I don't know how many, I don't know how many light years it is. But
several light years?
It's several hundred at least light years. It could be even farther, because we can see so far with the telescopes now that I don't even know. But
yeah.
Basically, I can't believe you haven't read about this. This was like, I actually almost like sent you this message, but I figured you'd have been like, that's stupid, because that's usually what you say when I send you stuff. So,
yes, you're right.
So basically, the star is dimming in a way that doesn't make sense. Okay. Right? Because that's how they tell if a planet's there, right? The star dims slightly.
Dim slightly as the planet passes in between us and it, or if they see a wobble.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. There are different methods for that.
But this one is dimming in a way that doesn't make sense. It would make sense if it was a new star, uh-huh, and a new system, and we would expect to see some planetary dust, right? Or the, whatever they call it, the dust, basically, like, because the planets haven't formed yet, right? So they're just kind of still like coalescing.
I believe that's the Oort cloud.
Well, that's the Oort cloud is a specific thing of dust, is it not? So,
well, I could be mixing my terminology here, so I don't want to say for sure.
Anyways, maybe they call it even a planetary disk. I'm not sure.
It could be that. Yep.
So it's the stuff is coalescing into a planet, right? But they said that this system should be well beyond that. So the only thing, there's a lot of theories, but like the easiest theory, mm-hmm, like if you're using Occam's razor, would be that someone is building a Dyson sphere. That is legit, they think that might be it. Now, it's not that.
It's because there's no way.
It's never that, right?
That's silly.
They're always wrong. But legit scientists are saying,
well, that would explain
it. This could be what we've been waiting for.
Yeah.
But I mean, they also thought that quasars and pulsars were, like pulsars specifically, they thought, mm-hmm, they were like, holy crap, we're getting messages. And they're like, oh, this is a star, never mind. And just flashes. So, mm-hmm, yeah. But anyways, yeah, I can't believe you remember about that. It's really interesting article.
It sounds
fascinating. They talk about a lot of different hypotheses that cover it, and uh-huh, nothing that we understand currently, uh-huh, could cover it.
That sounds great. I look forward to looking up that article.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, there's several, but you know, but yeah, of course I read IO9 a lot, and IO9 is like the biggest cynics ever about everything. Yeah. Like anytime they some science says they find something, like, no, science did not find this. Yeah. Shut up. Like they just what they always say.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they believe in scientific method.
Well, and more so than most scientists do, though. That's like scientists would be like, I think we figured this in IO 9 is, well, like, to screw
be,
you guys.
To be fair,
you're wrong.
NASA has been sure that there's water on Mars for like 10 years.
And they just finally
said. And they just finally felt comfortable saying it.
They finally said, hey, so we've been looking at these pictures that show like aliens riding like a lazy river. And we finally said, okay. My favorite thing of Mars, by the way, is all the people that keep posting, like, see this person on Mars, see this, because, mm-hmm. you know, the whole pareidolia thing where you're oh, look, I see the face on Mars, and, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they're like, oh, look, it's Bigfoot on Mars. And the one that looks like Bigfoot on Mars, if you suspend your disbelief, it looks like Bigfoot on Mars.
Oh, sure.
That's pretty great.
Some of those are pretty awesome, yeah. And you're just like,
well, that's like the face on Mars.
Yeah, sure.
In Cydonia. Mm-hmm. That's where that's the region on Mars. Yeah, wow. Hence the Knights of Cydonia. Right? Mm-hmm. But that like from when we first saw that, right? Like when I was a kid, like,
oh yeah,
you're like, that is definitely the Sphinx on Mars.
Oh yeah, I
How
remember.
How could that not be?
I NASA's remember being lying. A kid.
But now I realize, like, it's people like NASA tries. You know, NASA doesn't want to cover anything up. Are you kidding? If they could prove there was ancient life somewhere,
heck yeah,
that like helps their budgets a lot.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Then everyone would be going to Mars right now.
If anything, I would, not that I would say they would, just they'd be more likely to fake something to try and justify themselves rather than hide something.
Yeah.
That'd be stupid. Plus, like they talk about this a lot in the book, The Martian, how when he's talking to them back and forth, they're like, this is an open line. Everyone knows what's happening on here. There are no secrets.
Yeah, right now.
You know?
Yeah. So. Publicly funded government agency and the most open government agency, period.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to the point where, like, all of the photos that NASA takes are all available on NASA.gov.
Yep.
And they're all open source and anybody can use them for anything. I mean, NASA's incredible. Yeah. Like, God. I watched Interstellar recently. Did you watch that?
No, because it looks stupid.
Oh my God, Jason. Oh my God, that movie is garbage. It is the hottest pile of steaming garbage
I know
I have ever experienced. Like it made me want to strangle everybody involved in making it. It's so bad. It is so horribly bad, to the point where, like, the fundamental setup of this is that the Earth is dying and crops are dying, and so what do? They shut down NASA,
right?
Because they're doubling down on farm sciences, and never mind, let's figure out how we go to other planets. Right. What?
And then do they make a wormhole? Do they find a wormhole?
It's not even that. It's more stupid than that, okay?
Well, wormholes aren't stupid. I mean, all we can do is continue to attempt to disprove wormholes, but we actually can't prove them either.
Theoretically, we probably could prove that if we could go out and find one, there's proof that wormholes exist.
But what if it wasn't actually a wormhole? What if it was something else?
Well, I mean,
all we could do, Rob, is fail to disprove that it's not a wormhole.
I think you're trying to use my argument against me, but you're not informed enough. Nor am I, though, informed enough to appropriately argue this point. I'm sure an astrophysicist, though, would have a lot to say about this.
Well, I think we should call wormholes Einstein-Rosen bridges.
Okay, let's do that.
That's my favorite thing. They do that in Thor,
and
they call that they're like, it's forming an Einstein-Rosen bridge. And like, there's that dude that writes for Ain't It Cool News, who's like a scientist, who's like an astronomer.
Who are
that
guys? Yeah, I know
Shagan. And he's like, well, accurate. No one says that. They would just say wormhole.
Yeah, yeah. like they talk about that in Donnie Darko too, with the Einstein-Rosen bridge that projects from your abdomen and it into the future and shows you the path that you're going to follow. Yeah. Have you ever seen Donnie Darko?
Oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Movie's messed up.
It's super messed up. I mean, I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, whoa, this is the most amazing thing ever. And by like the fourth time I watched it, I thought, this is a little sketchy.
Yeah. That's how I felt with Inception too. First time I watched Inception, I was like, mind blowing.
Yeah.
And then the more you watch it, you're like, wait, plot hole, plot hole.
Right, yeah.
More plot holes.
Yeah. Christopher Nolan peaked at Dark Knight. And everything since then has gone downhill.
Yeah.
To the point where Interstellar is like, oh, dude. And it's long. It's like 3 hours long. Yeah.
Have you heard the theory about the new Batman and Robin? No, the new Batman and Superman movie?
That it's about Robin?
Well, there's the theory that the Joker is actually Jason Todd, right?
Oh. Oh, I didn't hear that. Okay.
The theory that the Joker is actually Jason Todd or something. But no, this was the best theory I heard because it's so stupid.
Oh, say, sorry, listeners, sorry. Spoilers. What?
Yeah. Well, because this isn't real. There's no way this is actually the case.
No.
The theory is that it's Batman v Superman because it's the fifth movie in the series.
Oh.
Because Christopher Nolan's three movies, and then the fourth movie would have been Man of Steel, and this is the fifth, and that Ben Affleck is playing Deathstroke, pretending to be Batman, because that apparently has happened in the comics.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And there he's in Deathstroke's like liner, like, I'm going to make you bleed. That's like his, and he in the trailer, he says, "Do you bleed?" to Superman.
Uh-huh.
To which Superman's like, "I'm just super stupid." But anyways, Superman sucks. But anyways, so their theory is that Christian Bale is actually going to come back in that movie.
Oh,
as Batman.
Wow. Yeah. And kick other Batman's butt.
And that.
Yeah. I love this.
You ready for this?
I love this.
You ready
for this? I'm excited.
That Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Was Robin.
Uh-huh.
And then turned into the Joker.
Whoa. Yeah. And they just recast him as Jared Leto.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love this idea.
Stupid.
I love this idea.
By the way, Suicide Squad is going to be terrible, but I'm going to see the crap out of that movie.
There's no way that movie's going
to
be good.
The only reason I'm going to see it is because a girl they hired to be Harley Quinn looks awesome as Harley Quinn, and I believe will be awesome, and I believe the rest of that movie will be garbage.
I'm sure she'll be fine.
But I bet she's going to be super cool.
There's no way that that movie is as cool as everyone wants it to be.
No, listen.
Because there's no way that Will Smith would play a bad guy.
There's also no way that Will Smith would be good in a movie.
Hey, I like Will Smith. I think he's a lot of fun.
Name a movie that Will Smith was really good in.
Okay, you're asking me to name like dramas and stuff.
Any movie that you were like, whoa, Will Smith blew me away in that movie.
That guy has a knack for understanding what a movie is and playing to the needs of that movie, okay? I like the Men in Black. Well, the first one. I like Men in Black. The other two are bad.
Men in Black was saved by Tommy Lee Jones being Tommy Lee Jones.
No, I thought Will Smith was great. I think he was exactly what he needed to be in that movie. Okay. Independence Day. Exactly what he needed to be in that movie.
Independence Day, the least cool character in the entire movie.
Was Randy Quaid.
Okay. Second least cool character in the entire movie. Because Randy Quaid was the worst. Randy Quaid, even when I was a kid seeing that movie, I was embarrassed every time he was on screen. I was like embarrassed for the movie. So I was like, oh, I'm sorry, Randy Quaid. You're so stupid.
No, I can't off the top of my head name a bunch of Will Smith movies, but I like Will Smith.
I don't really. You know why I think I don't like Will Smith? Is because as a person, I believe that Will Smith is a total bad word.
You think so?
Yeah, like he's,
I have no idea.
We'll say jerk. He's a total jerk. Because like they asked him to be in some movie. I don't remember what it was. And I was like, oh, he'd be great for that. And he's like, yeah, that's not, I don't have time for that. If I'm going to be in a movie, I need to be the main character. Gosh, I wish I could remember what it was.
Yeah, me too.
Whoever else they cast in the movie was fantastic. And I don't remember who it was, but it wasn't a main enough character role. So he wasn't interested in it.
Hmm.
What an idiot. And whatever it was a big, it ended up being
probably
like
a comic book movie or something.
I don't remember, but it ended up being a smashing success, right? Like way to go, loser, not being in that movie. But I don't remember what it was. So
it was probably like Heimdall and Thor or something.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a Marvel movie. It was something else. Because for somebody like him, if he wanted to be in a Marvel movie, they would save him
for
a big, good role, right?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. It'd be so terrible. They're like, you can be Black Panther. Like,
who's Black Panther? I don't remember that actor.
I don't know.
It's somebody that I'd never heard.
Chad Boseman or something like that?
Okay, yeah, somebody I wasn't familiar with.
No, but yeah. But he looks good in the thing and stuff I've seen, so. Yeah. I'm really excited about the new Marvel movies coming out. So.
I know you are. I am.
How about we talk about movement? I feel like we've really messed up this show.
So
you were saying blah, 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 Pangea.
Pangea, okay. So, because I had this idea of a game where you're moving continents. Where you're like these gods and you're trying to push continents around the globe, and these continents would be tiles, kind of in odd shapes, and so you'd be pushing a tile in a specific direction and colliding them with other things. When you collide two continents together, mountains would appear or volcanoes or whatever, you know. And when you pull them apart, then things would flood and whatever. And it was just nothing more clear than
game. Christine was always playing that one.
Well,
game.
Yeah, there's that game that we're thinking of was
it's like a one word, but anyways, it's
It's you know, it's a god game about reshaping the environment. Yeah. So a board game where you're pushing tiles around, like moving continents on a globe. And the idea never got past just that much. So I wondered, thinking about moving things in different ways and controlling movement and understanding movement of pieces and pawns, might be an interesting thing to discuss in more detail. So I don't know what your thoughts are. You have, I don't know if we even have time for this anymore after we went off on our tangent about movies.
Got a few minutes.
Okay.
It was Django Unchained, by the way. That was the movie.
Django Unchained. Oh, sure.
They wanted him to be the main. He said Django isn't a big enough role in the movie.
He was the main character. Yeah, the movie was named after him.
But Christoph Waltz, you probably haven't seen the movie because you don't care.
I know. I did
see it. Christoph Waltz steals that movie. Like, he steals everything he's ever done because he's amazing.
Yeah, but Jamie Foxx was fine in that.
He was good. I mean, he wasn't like, oh my gosh, he's so amazing. I mean, Christoph Waltz and Leonardo DiCaprio and Sam Jackson. Oh, Sam Jackson was good.
Yeah.
So,
but anyway.
So now we said that. So.
Movement, Jason.
You've destroyed all my creative thoughts. Literally have nothing.
You're just thinking about Django?
No, I'm just
thinking about this guy that shoot out in the main hallway.
One of the ways so this is kind of a cop out, but
okay.
One of the ways I had a game idea to track movement where, like, you would, it was to track secret movement in a game.
Yeah, sure.
So there was a board and you were moving on the board, but you weren't actually moving on the board. And I still should use this in a game because this is pretty good. You would play cards. You would play it on movement cards, right? So, like, I moved 5. I moved 6. Mm-hmm. And you never had to designate what piece you were... Well, you would have to say which piece you were moving. So, you're like, I'm going to move this guy. And then you'd play cards down on next to him so that you knew how far you can move him. So, mm-hmm. over the course of 4 turns, he's moved 14 spaces, but he's still in his original spot, right? And that would mean that I could move 14 spaces. When I finally decide to pull the trigger and take the move action, I can move the max number of spaces I have. And as long as I don't get within X spaces of one of your guard towers, say, to where you would spot me, I can move anywhere on the board without doing that. As long as I can count it out and show you how I do that with getting around all your guard towers and your pieces and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I thought that was a cool way to track.
So you're, like, basically you're programming your movements secretly in advance.
But you're not, but they're still freeform, right?
Yeah.
You're programming your distance, saying, I'm going to move this character at some point, X number of spaces. But, like, you don't have to know exactly how I'm moving. When I decide to finally take that move action and move all those spaces, I have to make sure that I never get within range of your places that could see me, right? This was the game that I was working on about islands, where there was, like, a bunch of islands and you were trying to take over different islands, and everybody started with on one little spot.
Okay.
And there was, like, 12 islands. And you were trying to take over little islands to give yourself things and resources. And it just ended up not panning out. And there was another game called, like, Island Kings or something that came out, or Island something. And, it was on Kickstarter at the time, and I was like, ugh, I just won't even bother. But I always like that movement system, right? Because it allows you to move. It allows you to keep your options open, basically, within limits.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you would always run the risk that if somebody could come, like, destroy that piece before you moved it, right?
Yeah.
You've wasted those actions.
Okay.
Or if they could, like, okay, I see what you're trying to probably do with that piece, so I'm going to put another guard tower here to make it harder for you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So you would say, I'm going to move 5 spaces and then 3 spaces and then 6 spaces and in any direction you want. And you generally have a direction you want to go, but it could be that your opponent places a guard in that path that you're going to take, and then you'd have to change your path
right
to account for that.
So when you decided to move, you could move up to 14 spaces.
Uh-huh. Now, when I say that my first move is going to be 5 spaces?
No, you're not, though. You're just playing down saying, I'm banking 5 move for him. Next turn, I'm banking 6 more. Now I'm at 11 move for him. So when I move him, I can move him up to 11, right?
Up to?
Yeah.
You don't have to move the full?
Well, no, because what happens if you may pin me in a spot where I can't move?
Yeah. Then you're caught, right?
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that could actually be a cool kind of a simple betting game, right? Where you're betting on how far you can move without being detected.
Yeah.
So, like a strategic...
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's not bad.
Well, there's an idea.
Sure.
I contributed to the show.
How are we doing on time? We should probably move on. Builders, I'm sorry. This topic this week.
I'm not
going
to take this off our list. We'll talk about it some other time.
We'll get back. Yeah.
Not soon, but at some point it'll be on our list of topics.
Yeah. You need to pitch your game.
Okay. So the name of this game is Shipwreck Island, which you'll notice is not have anything to do with alliteration. So
I'm astounded, frankly.
Honestly, if there was an S word for island, it would have been. But
yeah.
Or an I word for shipwreck. But I couldn't think of either.
I can't think of either, yeah.
Yep. I spent some time, not gonna lie. Okay, so let's talk about this game. So the idea of this game is you are sailors who have been sailing, and you go to this place, right? Shipwreck Island, actually. And it's this place everyone's warned you about where there's a sea monster, right? And what the sea monster does is the sea monster destroys the crap out of ships, right? And all these ships have like coalesced into an island, right?
Shipwreck Island.
Yeah, right? Of just rubbish from ships, wreckage, mm-hmm. right? So I like that idea. Like, sure. And with the big, long sea monster snaky thing.
Yeah, love it.
Coiling through that.
Great.
I really like that. So, okay. So the idea of the game is you are 2 to 4 people stranded, maybe more, I don't know, but we'll mm-hmm. say 2 to 4 for now, on this island. And the sea monster is going to eat you, right? Because after he crashes your ships, why would he not eat you? A sea monster's got to eat too.
Mm-hmm.
And the sea monster is going to reveal himself. And once the sea monster's fully revealed himself, the person with the best ship that they've built out of all the crap that's there gets away. And the other people get eaten and you win the game.
Okay.
Okay. So how do you do that? Well, so there's in the game there are 54 cards in the game. There are 18 cards that are wreckage cards, guaranteed to be wreckage cards. About half of that is big wreckage cards, mm-hmm. and about half of it is small wreckage cards, but you know that it's wreckage. And that's on the front of the card. And the back of the card is a symbol that will tell you it's wreckage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other 36 cards are water cards. So on the top, they just look like water.
Mm-hmm.
But underneath, they could be either wreckage, big or small, mostly small, just a few big pieces of wreckage. Because obviously the idea is you can see the big wreckage easier, sure. right? And then 8 of those 36 cards are pieces of the sea monster.
Okay? Ah.
Yeah. All right. So you start by shuffling your cards, the two decks together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you spread them out in the center of the board so that you can see the backs of a lot of cards. Not all of them, but, you know, a good deal of them, right?
Okay.
So you a lot of times will be able to see wreckage cards directly, but also you may be able to see a lot of water cards, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So on your turn, you're going to have 5 custom dice, right? Because this is that. I really wanted to do a custom dice game.
Yep.
So the symbols on the dice are as follows. There are 2 symbols that are water, that looks like the water cards.
Okay.
There is 1 symbol that's wreckage, that looks like the wreckage cards. There is a symbol that means you give... Well, so I guess let's talk about what the symbols mean. Sorry. The water symbol means you gather water, which means you grab a water card, right?
Okay.
The wreckage means you gather a wreckage card.
Okay.
The give back one, which is like a piece of broken wreckage, means you give a card back, or give a card to someone else.
Okay.
A sea monster one. Sea monster one is locked. So when you roll a sea monster, it's stuck on sea monster. But if you get 2 or more, you can actually use the sea monster to steal from someone else. Because like the idea is they're distracted by the sea monster, so you take a piece of their stuff.
Okay.
And then there's one that's a hammer that means build. Okay.
Okay.
So those are your 6 sides. 2 are water. The rest are unique. So you roll the dice, and instead of Yahtzee style, when you roll the dice, you have to lock 1 die each time you roll, right?
Okay.
Again, so you get a sea monster, you're stuck with it. Now, if you get a sea monster on that turn, then you locked one, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you get 2 sea monsters, unfortunately, you lock 2, and each turn you have to lock 1 or more.
How many dice do you have to roll?
5.
5. Okay.
So you could roll up to 5 times. That probably won't happen most of the time because you'll either roll a sea monster or you may just get what you're looking for, right?
Sure.
So what are these actions doing for you? Well, you are, the gather actions allow you to take cards. But they also, these actions also, once you get cards, right? So you take a card, you flip it face up. Assuming it's a wreckage card, we'll talk about that first. You can have up to 5 wreckage cards in front of you at any given time. On those wreckage cards are symbols from the dice that you have to use to build the wreckage, right?
Mm-hmm.
To basically make it more seaworthy with parts, right?
Okay.
So once I've successfully built one of those, now that could have any of the symbols on it except for the sea monster. And then the build one is wild, right? So basically a build one, a build the hammer side, that can take place of any one of the holes, right? Like any one of the dice you need. So you build a, you build a piece and then you set it off to the side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is you want to keep building pieces to make your ship bigger. Cause the bigger your ship is, the more points it's worth, the more seaworthy it is. Person with the most points at the end wins, basically, because there's the most seaworthy ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a couple more things. This is something I've tried many times using games and have failed, but this time I actually feel like it works. So there are five different colors in the game, which maybe they won't be colors, but they're attachments. So basically the ship only fits together a certain way, right? So your big pieces of wreckage are always going to have, four on them, right? Four different colors out of the five. So basically that's pretty good, because you got four out of five colors on one. The smaller ones are only going to have two colors. So the idea is you're kind of matching them together, and you can make a really wonky looking ship. It doesn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a sweet sailor, that doesn't have to be pretty to sail, right?
Okay.
So that's Jack Sparrow. Now if you, when you were gathering water cards, for instance, now, so any of your dice you don't want to use, you don't have to, with the exception of water. If you, your gather water card has not been used, then, oh, and I actually renamed them search. So like search water, search wreckage. So your search water roll, if you have that left over and you can't assign it somewhere, you have to take that number of water cards. So you have three of those up, you're going to have to draw three water cards. Now you can only ever have five water cards in, mm-hmm. I mean, five wreckage cards in front of you that aren't built,
mm-hmm.
which means at the end of your turn, you're going to have to discard some back to the pile. But if at any point one of those is a sea monster card, then it gets laid out on the side of the table as you build the sea monster. When the sea monster becomes fully built, everybody gets one more turn, and then the sea monster attacks.
Okay.
And the game ends.
Okay, so I've got five dice.
Yep.
So I can roll, I roll five. Let's say I get three waters and two shipwrecks.
Yep.
Does that mean I can pick up three water cards and two shipwreck cards?
You could, yeah.
Okay. Or I could pick up one shipwreck card, and that shipwreck card says you need one wreckage and two waters in order to build this, and then I can build it right away.
Exactly. Yep. Okay. So you can, in the, and it specifically, I didn't say this, but it says in here, you can use your dice in any order, right?
Yeah.
So that you're trying to maximize what you can do.
Okay.
And I like the idea that even though you get screwed by sea monsters, if you get two or more, you can steal from an opponent. That way you can't gather, but you could, and when I say steal, you can never steal something that's been built. Once it's built, it's part of their ship.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just kind of their wreckage that's floating near them, is you could just kind of grab it.
So I can't take hold cards in my hand.
Correct.
Right. If I pick it up, I have to be able to build it at the same time?
No, you can have up to five pieces of wreckage floating in front of you.
Oh, right.
And then
when this is built, you kind of lock it in and set it aside.
Because the idea is that you're on that, right? You're pulling stuff over and you're hooking it on. And once it's hooked on, that's your ship. Nobody's touching it.
Yeah.
And the sea monster is not going to mess with that until he's fully emerged.
Got it.
So the game has what I think is a pretty cool timing mechanism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which you're forced to consistently be gathering water.
Mm-hmm.
And with the, I did the math, I don't remember, but you're on average, most players are going to get at least one to two water a turn they're going to get stuck with, right? Is the mm-hmm. idea.
Sure.
So you're going to be constantly pulling out of there. So in a four player game, if you're each pulling two out a turn, two divided by 36 would be 18 turns. If it lasted that long, mm-hmm. but of those 18 turns, it's not like you get 18 turns. You're going to get four plus plus or minus turns.
Yeah.
And so
the card backs, they're all water except 18 of them have some wreckage indicator on it. Right. Cause there's big stuff that you can see.
Right.
And so theoretically there could come a point where those are all taken.
Correct.
And so your wreckage, if you roll wreckage dice,
they're only like, good to help you build stuff.
Build stuff, yeah. Right. But you can still use them for that.
Right. And big wreckage would be worth less points than little wreckage.
Oh, really?
Okay. Because big wreckage is easier to find.
Sure.
Slightly harder to build, but easier to find.
Yeah.
And big wreckage is also necessary because it's easier to put stuff on too, right?
Yeah.
So you need a few pieces of big wreckage. But it makes sense. You don't want to have too many of those because then your ship's not going to be very nimble. It's just going to be a bunch of big wreckage strapped together.
Boy, it'd be nice if there was some way to peek, you know? like peek at what's under a card?
Well, but here's the thing. If you peek at what's under a card and then don't take it, I'm going to assume it's a sea monster card.
Well, what if you could discard three dice or something as the last action, three unused dice, and look at a card?
What's the point, though? I look at the card, and then somebody else is going to take it or not take it.
I'm saying, you know, I've got five cards in front of me, and everything looks like it's going to fit together nicely, you know? And I roll, and I don't get what I need in order to build that stuff. And I go, crap, well, I don't want to do anything. Or I could discard these three, or, you know, something like that, you know? I don't really have anything else I want to do on my turn, but I could discard three dice and look and see what's there so I can make another decision for next time.
Well, but somebody else will likely take that card before.
Not necessarily, because what if you didn't reveal it because it's a sea monster?
True. Yeah, I mean, it could work. I just feel like you don't need to peek. I feel like part of the idea of the game is you're forced to just take what you can get, right? Mm-hmm. And then you could get a piece and be like, this piece sucks, and never use it. Because eventually, you're going to get another piece that's going to fill that slot, and you can just throw it back.
Hmm.
But the idea being, you know, the timing is going to be the hardest thing to work out, is how quickly does that sea monster come out? Because it's eight pieces, so it could take a little while to come out.
Yeah.
But worst case, if it takes the entire game, that's 18 turns. Which is a lot of turns, but that's if it takes the entire game, which statistically speaking, it shouldn't.
Yeah.
In most games, it won't. Some games, it might, but you know.
I would love to play that.
So, yeah, I feel like it's got some potential. So,
yeah.
I was going back and forth with Katarsky about it just one day online, just kind of saying, like, here's what I'm thinking. What do you think? And he had a lot of good ideas. So,
Yeah. So, yeah, I would love to try that.
So yeah, Shipwreck Island. Tell your
Shipwreck
friends.
Island, yeah. It's a good name. Yeah. I mean, and it's a simple presentation there, you know?
Right. But it would look cool on a table,
sure,
right?
I think so. I think that's a great idea. Yeah. Yeah. And it's every die has two water, two wreckage.
No, two water, one wreckage, one that's give something back, one is a sea monster, and one is a build. A master build, so it can do anything. Okay. And the idea is that, with the exception of the sea monster, well, even that, if you get a couple of them, because you can then use it to do something else, but with the exception of the sea monster, everyone is dual purpose, right?
Yeah.
Well, build is not, but build lets you do anything on the ship, right. So it's pretty stinking useful.
Yeah, and so sometimes you might need to give one back in order to build something.
Well, no, what that would be is that give back symbol you might be able to use in your building process.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, okay.
Because it's
yeah.
just pictures of the dice yeah, on yeah, the okay. cards.
It's
the
right. idea. It's a face that you could use. Mm-hmm. Yeah, got yeah. it. Okay.
So, and the only thing you're stuck with is searching water. If you have those left over, you must search water to get more. And that's to keep the game progressing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why there's two on there instead of
yeah.
one. That way, statistically speaking, it's going to come up more often, you know? Yeah, so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
So, anyways, yeah. I'm pretty happy with that design. So,
yeah. I like it.
I'm going to prototype it and see if it sucks or not.
Sure.
See if it's got sea legs. All right. Anyways.
Okay.
I think that's about it.
All right. And we burned through all our comments last week.
Yep. And sorry about the topic this week.
We'll come back to it.
Unless you like movies, in which case maybe you had a great time.
Maybe that was the highlight of your week. It certainly was mine. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it, as we always do. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @podcastbtg. Jason is @JASlingerlin, and I'm @poorly_designed. Go to our website, buildinggamepodcast.com. Call our Google Voice number at 770-TEL-BTG. Like us on Facebook and give us a 5-star review on iTunes or on Stitcher. And tweet horrible rumors about us using the #BTGRumors. And have a great week. We love you guys.
Good night.
Bye.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios.
All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Yeah. So we're talking about movement on this one?
Yeah.
Okay. Like breaking it down, like getting jiggy kind of movement.
Getting jiggy with it.
Out of hand. Boom, 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 boom. But yeah.
She's a brick. House.
Yeah.
You're mighty, mighty. Just letting it all hang out.